different Bible doctrines, hardline, hard fast Baptist Bible doctrines. And last week we started with A, for assurance of salvation. Now, it should not be a conversation that has to come up. We see a large number of scripture that assures us that our salvation is not something that can be lost, nor is it something that we should doubt. However, through sin or the devices of the devil, it's possible to become confused. When we get frustrated, when we get fatigued in our spiritual battles, sometimes it is possible to lose a little bit of faith. So how do I know scripturally, how do I take somebody and sit them down and explain to them that you cannot lose your salvation and you can be sure of it? I was talking to somebody just recently, and it's a very Catholic thing, a very spiritualist type belief. Hey, do you know you're going to heaven when you die? And their response was this: well, I hope so. And I am so glad I don't have a hope-so salvation. That when I'm going through the hard times, when I am struggling, when I'm growing, when I'm struggling to grow, it's not a maybe-so salvation. The scripture makes it clear that once saved, always saved, and that there is a definite path to salvation. So, to answer the question that many of us would get when we're giving the gospel, or maybe to a newer Christian who's struggling, or maybe an older but still baby Christian who's beginning to struggle. Go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16 and verse 31. And it says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. That is not maybe talk. That is not we think so talk. It is a very definite thing. Believe on the Lord, and you shall be saved. So we see that God is not playing around. It is not a whimsical thing for God where maybe it will, maybe it won't. If I were to find out that, I don't know, your favorite kind of coffee was for sale somewhere, and I said, get in your car, go there, and you will find it. Well, I could be wrong. We were just talking this morning about some corn. Hey, I know for sure I'm going to go back. Well, it's not there. That's our mindset. That's our ability, right? Man is finite. While I may have remembered it, it does not necessarily mean that nothing has happened to it. Whereas with God, we know, shall be. There's no doubt in Him. There's no question there. Salvation is a definite thing. 1 John 5, verse 12, and we're going to spend a little bit of time of our Sunday school hour in this, but 1 John 5:12. And it says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, the great thing about the Lord Jesus Christ is you don't lose him. We may have people who claim that they know Christ, who are lost. They don't really know Christ. They know about Christ. They have a facsimile type understanding of Christ. There are hundreds of people who leave secular colleges with degrees in comparative religion studies. They have a glimpsed understanding of who Christ is. But I know Him. If I were to take you and I were to tell you the story about my grandfather, and I bring all these news articles and I bring all these historical documents to you, and I could show you who he was, what kind of things he was, I can bring in testimonies of the family to tell you who he was, you would have a brief understanding of who he is. But me who sat on his knee, I know him. Same thing goes with Jesus Christ. I have a relationship there. I can know about him, but do I know him? And what we there is, once I have him, I have life. And then you don't lose Jesus Christ. Again, being part of God, he is all present and, of course, all powerful. 1 John 3:14. We're going to hit a lot of scripture as we're going through some of these proofs. It says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. One of the surest signs that a church has Jesus Christ and is focused on them is their relationship among each other. I've been into churches, and not to tattle on anybody, where it has been so cold in there, you sparse need to turn on the air conditioning. There's no relationship. There's no talking. There are some folks, they'll get into church, and there's two or three people they'll talk to, but they've got beef against everybody else in there. Take a minute to think about home church. Take a minute to think about all the people that have been here, and either they've passed on or moved on, and think of all the people who are here now. Does it make any sense that y'all would get along? Think about it. Under what circumstance would we not only be around each other, but love each other? We're all kind of different. You take that how you want. We're all kind of different. And you know what? That's how the Lord works that out. When you get into a church, yeah, you know, sometimes we have problems. Sometimes there are issues that we work out. But for the most part, there is that love that binds us all. Right? We were at that singing it together, and I looked around. And you know what I look for among Baptists? And this is sad. I look for people under 30. I do. You want to know why? Because you have to. I don't have to look for people over 60. All right, I can't turn around without finding them. But you go to a big event like that, and it's hard to find younger people. Right? But you know what I did? I found some younger people. Now, what makes, you know, the 20s and the 30s get along with people in the 70s and the 80s? Jesus Christ. What brings us all together for that event? Jesus Christ. Under what group event, what concert could you go to where you see that wide of a spread of individual? Right? I can't think of any where you see something like that. The fact that we can come together and love each other, yes, with bumps and bruises and scrapes along the way, but nonetheless, we can have that love for each other. Well, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 2, verse 3 gives us this, that I know I am saved because I desire to keep God's commandments. 1 John, where did I go? 2, 3, I'm not there yet. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. I was talking to somebody one time. They were struggling with their salvation. They said, I believed at one time, but now I just don't feel it. And of course, you know what I think about the word feeling. Salvation isn't a feeling. It is a relationship. But nonetheless, I asked them, I go, well, tell me why you're struggling. Well, I have a hard time keeping the Lord's commandments, and it's really frustrating me. I go, right there. Let me go out there. Let me go over to the liquor store where people are getting stocked up for the day. Let me stop them and ask them what they think about the Lord's commandment that thou shalt not lie. Let me ask them about not coveting their neighbor's wife. Let me ask them about this and let me ask them about that and see if they care. And you know what? Most of them don't. Most folks in this world, they don't. If you're sitting there and you care that you're missing the mark, there it is. You understand? That's good. Because the natural human mind does not care if it doesn't have to, right? If I raise my boys up, there will be certain rules. There will be times in their lives, and you've experienced this with your own kids and probably with your own parents, where there will be times where you don't want them to know you messed up because I'm breaking the family rules. But if I take somebody out of the context of family pressure or church pressure, and I grab a random person on the street who doesn't have to care for their social acceptance, they don't. And what we see here is if you have the desire, and if you are in many ways keeping the Lord's commandments, that's an evidence of love, because otherwise, why would you care? Why wouldn't we just go for what feels good and what seems right? The fact that it bothers you when you sin is proof of a forever salvation, not being able to lose it. I was talking to somebody who's of the free will faith, and they said, well, when I mess up, that's how I know I've lost my salvation. I said, well, how do you get it back? He goes, well, the entire time you're being bothered. Why does the Lord bother people that aren't saved if it was your choice to pick it up and put it down? Right? It shouldn't bother you at all if you've lost your salvation. So we see we can have assurance by understanding that we never quite lose that desire to keep His commandments. 1 John 2:15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So again, we take that same new Christian or maybe a baby Christian who's struggling, and I take them and I show them all the things, right? Brother Mark was talking about looking at this world and the conversations that go along with it. I take them and I show them all the evil in the world, and it bothers them. There you go. Well, it bothers me that this is happening. It's bothering me that abortion bothers me. The transgender movement bothers me. Critical race theory being taught in schools bothers me. The fact that there are people paying $42,000 to send their kid to a private school where they're being taught very sexual things in the kindergarten and first grade range. Ridiculous things that we wouldn't have even talked about in high school when we were there, right? Not just the what, but the how. We were never taught the how. They're teaching kindergarten or first graders how to have sinful type relations at that level. And they're paying $42,000. A bunch of parents were watching on the Zoom class. And they were going, what? getting really upset by this, by what they're seeing. You know, that bothers them. Well, if you were a lost person, you'd be like all the rest of them out there just kind of clapping along going, yes, yes, this is wonderful. Let's be inclusive. But you're not. That bothers you. Now, why does it bother you? Because you think it's icky? Well, no, because you know God is against it. You know what that is. Somebody came back at me one time. You're against gay people, aren't you? I go, no, God is. I'm just on His side. And that's where I stand with it. Listen, it's not that I woke up this morning and decided I was going to hate somebody. It wasn't that somebody who was gay cut me off one time in traffic. They are going against God's natural order. You are sinning in the eyes of God. God doesn't call it a mistake. He calls it an abomination. Right? Your beef is not with me. Your beef is with God. That's the one that ought to concern you. Pushing forward, I know that I am saved because I am overcoming the world. 1 John 5:4. And feel free to pull your Bible out, get some exercise. If anything, it'll make you a little bit faster in turning. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. As much as we want to talk about churches in decline, forgive the phrase, it sounds so base, but we are scoring some points here. We're doing well. By all rights and reservations, this experiment in America for us coming and having freedom of religion should not have worked. It shouldn't have. And with the multiple denominations and business-type churches out there, the true line of faith should have been squashed were it not real. Yet, nonetheless, here we are. We still exist. There are people being baptized new every day. The Lord is still saving people. We are still being able to stand up against what they have to say and against their attempts to silence us. We're still working. And even if it's not legal and we're facing a large amount of persecution, Jesus will still save, the church will still work, and they can't win against us. So the very fact that we are getting victory over the world should be sufficient. Now, there are people that they'll kind of hit a rough patch and they'll go, well, maybe I'm not saved because great things aren't happening in my life. Well, no, life is still life. Life on this little blue rock is still going to be tough. It's still a cursed life, and it's a cursed earth. So just because we've got bad things doesn't mean that we're not overcoming the world. But nonetheless, we have the ability to. We shouldn't be able to, but by God's grace, we are. We also see that I know I am saved because I have the witness of the Spirit within through the Word. 1 John 5:10. He that believeth, I put my post-it note there, excuse me. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his, excuse me, of his Son. Now again, the fact that you're struggling means you understand this book. You can't understand this book unless you got that witness within. Understand? And for us to sit there and say that we don't, that's what we call God a liar, because I'm not maintaining what God said, this record that Jesus Christ gave us. The fact that I have it and I understand it is the difference. I've often thought about that. How, among all the reasons why I believe false religion persists, I know why it starts, because the devil wants it to start, but why does it persist? Why can so many people carry a Bible into a religious institution and never crack it open? And if they do crack it open like they say they are, how do you not get the wrong? How do you not see where there's problems? And I honestly think that a small part of it is they don't understand this book at all. Not that it's gobbledygook when they look at it, but they read through it and it's just stories. It's words. They don't pick up on the depth of the lessons that a child of God can. They lack the Holy Spirit within them to be able to interpret. Now, how about this? I know many people who are able to produce great fruit, right? The spiritual fruit that we would talk about, right? Your ability to do that is solid proof of salvation. You shouldn't be able to do that. I know I am saved because I hear the Lord's voice, and that's through the Word of God and desire to follow Him. Now again, some of the more nut jobs out there would say, well, I heard it in a dream. I was sitting there and I heard the voice of God chatting in my ear. More often than not, when the Lord's talking to us, it's going to be through this book. And a lot of times it's going to be through sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. As I am inclined to hear Him, I'm going to pick up more than I would if not. One of the hardest times that I'll have coming up with a sermon is when my reading isn't right. Some of the pastors will talk about this. You've probably heard about this before, where they'll read and study for the sermons. And that's a big part of our week. Reading and studying for the sermons. I mean, you think about it. While I spend a good couple hours in here, I spend dozens of hours preparing for right here, right? If all of my study and all of my reading is just for this, I'm going to struggle with this. And this is just me giving you my testimony. I struggle with this. Well, brother, you spend hours doing this and doing that and reading. And yep. But if I don't spend time studying for this, I struggle, right? So what am I saying there? I can't hear His voice if I'm not working on me. If I'm just talking shop with Him, if I'm just talking about the work with Him, and I'm not actually talking about my life with Him, my devotion to Him, my relationship with Him, I'm going to struggle in the work part. So I can hear His voice much better when my reading, my studying, and my prayer life aren't just there, but they're what they're supposed to be. Because you can struggle just as well if you only ever focus your prayers on the give-me's, if you only ever focus your prayers on work or concerns. There must also be praise and worship times where you're telling God how great He is, that you've got to have those things in order to hear His voice. And many of us, we know exactly what that looks like. We'll be presented with something and we'll say, you know what, according to Scripture, that's not right. Or you'll have something happen and a verse of Scripture pops up into your head. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the voice of the Lord. Again, almost always speaking through the Scriptures. I do struggle to believe that anybody out there would have a dream or hear the voice of God itself. As Scripture says, it's mostly booked down to reading through these words. Now, what brings assurance of salvation into my life? How can I take a young Christian and keep them convinced of their salvation? Well, one, you shouldn't have to continually convince somebody of their salvation. If they're living in doubt, there's some concerns we got to address there. You understand what I'm saying? If it's, well, I don't know if I'm saved. And the next time you see them, oh yeah, well, I've been doing this, but I don't know if I'm saved. And that's kind of their song. We need to hold off on baptism. We need to hold off on voting them in and that sort of thing. We need to make sure that we are clear on our salvation and who we are in Christ. But let's say we're traveling down the road and we've got somebody and we're looking to grow them a little bit in their assurance of salvation. Well, number one, the best way to do it is for you to learn the Word of God. We all know 2 Timothy 3:14, 15, and 16. It's good for us to take a look at that and to examine that on a regular basis. But we have to study the Word of God for any growth to take place in our lives. It is both the tilling of the soil, the breaking up of our heart, as well as the planting of the seed that helps us to grow as Christians. We also need to thank God for His gift of salvation. What would happen if you only ever had what you thanked God for? I heard somebody say one time, you need to thank the Lord for your salvation. Acknowledge your salvation. Lord, thank you so much for saving my soul. That is one of the biggest and one of the best things, the biggest and the best thing that God can do for you. So thank Him. You have eternal life. If anything has value, that does. Another thing that's good for us to do is to give our testimony. All right, your salvation was meant to be shared. The gospel story was meant to be told. The more you talk about your salvation, the more acknowledgement that you put into it, the stronger you'll be in being able to present it more. And folks, our salvation is not just a singular event. We are called into service by that salvation, and we're supposed to take that to the street. If you're not talking about what the Lord has done through you, your faith will waver. Again, if I do not fall back on what God has done in my life, I'm going to struggle in the future. Always make sure to make monuments in your life to declare what God has done. Here's another one I would tell people. Oh, I'm saved. All right, the very first thing you need to do. How about pop a hand up, somebody tell me, what's the first thing somebody who is saved needs to start doing? Right, I knock on somebody's door, I give them the gospel. Before I leave the door, what do I need to make sure they do? I better make sure you're able to find the church. You need to start coming to church. A lot of people think they can have salvation and I can attend from home. No, you need to be fed. Somebody told me this one time, all you need is the Bible. You absolutely do need the Bible. And the Bible is preached at church, so get to church. They firmly believe that all you needed was to have your Bible, open it up every day. You don't need church. You don't need fellowship. You don't need those things to grow. You know what? I need to be fed. We're talking about feeding kids in the back and people who are picky about one thing or another. If I just let my kids eat what they wanted to when they were Melody's age, you know what they would eat? Lint. Toenails. She found a little Lego yesterday. We had a fit. A whole fit. Because she found a little bit of a Lego and she had it right here. We caught her right here before she put that in her mouth. That's what kids would eat. They wouldn't eat food. Why? Because they don't know what food is. Right? At that age, they don't know what food is. What if I just let Caspian eat whatever he wanted? All right, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? Right? Just take him to the grocery store. You fill it, buddy. Whatever you get, we'll have. We would have 900 Lunchables. There would be no Lunchables left on there. He does. He likes to eat good food, but he doesn't make smart choices. It would be 900 meals of Lunchables. Why? Because that's what I want. So if I take a baby Christian and I give them that same ability, no church, just Bible, again, that's disobedience in and of itself, not going to church. But let's just toss away that chunk of scripture. Let's just say we were to take them. A baby Christian can't grow on their own. They must be fed. They must be taught basics. They must be taught how to do certain things. All right? You cannot leave them to their own devices. Well, I've got 4 degrees from Harvard. That means nothing in the spiritual walk. You must be fed. You'll think as a humanist when you approach the Bible. You need to be approached the Bible as a child of God. Those are two completely different things. So you need to attend church as much as possible. The next is you got to live the life. If you're out there and you're committing sin and you care nothing for the worship and praise of the Lord and you care nothing for the works and the things that God has told you to do and you're doing everything that you just want, guess who your God is? You. So when you have doubts, that just makes sense. because you're somewhere you're not supposed to be, doing things you're not supposed to do, as far removed from God as you possibly can. Right? As the kids, as children get older, or I'll even do this, let's stop picking on kids, let's pick on animals. When I would train dogs, I'd always try to keep the dogs within a certain reach of me, right? And then as I trusted them, I let them get farther and farther, and we would play that game where I would call them and they would come back. You know what I found, and this is a very common thing? The further away they got and the younger they were, the harder it was to get them to come back. So I practice keeping them close. If you make a game of going out as far as you can from the Lord, you're in danger. And not just from the things around you, but from you yourself. We had a Siberian Husky that we got from my aunt, and she got out one time. Now, if you've ever had a Siberian Husky, you'd know this. When they're gone, they're gone. Like, the Chihuahua will sit there and smell things. A Spaniel will stop and sniff at all the little trees and things. A Husky will run because that's what it wants to do. It'll stop and sniff here or there, but it will run. And it is not a short run around the block. You're going to be running for miles to catch this beast. Well, it got loose, and it cared nothing for coming back to me. Right? It was still new to us, still in its infancy of training, and was just gone. And it was running out into traffic. It was running up to strange dogs. It was doing all the things that it possibly could to hurt itself. Right? Now, fast forward. That dog would come to me from the back of PetSmart, where I worked. I would put her on right up by the front door, and I would come all the way to the back, and I would call for her, and she'd come. And it would always amaze people, and that's how I sold my classes. I would make my dogs do fun things, and they're like, oh, wow, we got to get into the class. And so I was doing that. One day, guess what she did? I mean, she did it perfectly for weeks. You know what she did one day? I called her. She jumped up, ran out the door. And it just goes to show you that it doesn't matter how long you've walked with the Lord, the moment you step away, you're in trouble. Now, guess what? After all that training, do you think she stopped running out into traffic, stopped running up to strange dogs, and stopped putting herself in danger? She didn't learn any of those lessons. And you know what? As much as I want to put her down, we're the same. You walk with the Lord for 50 years, you step away from Him once, you're going to walk right out into traffic. You're going to put yourself into harm. My place is always next to the Lord, living a righteous life. All right, you mess around once, that's all it takes. Now, getting into the debate between a free will Baptist who believes you can lose your salvation and what the Scripture says, let's look at a few things. If I were to go to 1 John 1:8, we would clearly be able to see that it is possible for us to sin. Is that a debate in the room? We all know that even though we're saved, we still sin, right? Excuse me. 1 John 2:1 says, does God want a Christian to sin? And from that, we very clearly see no. How about 1 John 1:9? Is somebody there? Can somebody read that for me? 1 John 1:9. Very good, thank you. So, the fact that there is a plan for us to do that means that us sinning does not catch God off guard. I can go back to the Lord, ask for forgiveness, and that sin will be forgiven. So again, I sin, I go back to the Lord, ask for His forgiveness, and He forgives me. 1 John 2:1, we've referenced this a couple times. Sorry, 1 John 2 Verse 1, I'm in 21. It says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So again, Jesus Christ sitting as an advocate. If I lost my salvation every time I sinned, would I need an advocate? If it was a spiritual death penalty, if I sinned big enough, would I need a judge? No. Would I need a lawyer? No. I would be clearly defined, you sinned, therefore you've lost your salvation. But what we see here again is that I have an advocate. No, that one's mine. It's covered under the blood. See, he is praying. He's asking for forgiveness. That's covered. All right. So if I sin, again, I don't lose my salvation. We'll go into deeper next week. But again, the door is open for me to come and confess that sin for forgiveness. Again, we are looking at how it's set up. And if I know how it works, next week we'll be able to look deeper into how it doesn't work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are